Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching, typically once a week. Occasionally I miss a week. I missed last week. I'll get into it in a second. If this is the first episode of mine that you stumble upon and you like it, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts so you can get notified when I upload a new episode. For updates about missing episodes and stuff like that, I do tweet if I'm missing a week and stuff like that. I typically release every week and I'm trying to, but occasionally life happens and I'll get into it in a second, but actually I'll just get into it right now. So I really told myself going into this year that I didn't want to miss weeks to the best of my ability. I think I might have missed actually a week when my sister came to visit me, but I generally just like didn't want to. I have a really bad habit of if I miss a week, I lose momentum and then I miss like 3 weeks and suddenly I've been gone for like 2 months when I didn't mean to do that. Like I just wanted to be as consistent as I could. And I was ready to record an episode last week, but I typically record my episodes on Fridays, and my childhood dog passed away last Friday. And so I woke up to that news and I was just not in the right headspace, and I just thought it would be better to skip the week instead of like pushing it back and recording on Saturday or Sunday and then get like I was like, I'll just take the week off. I just thought it would be better to skip a week instead of like pushing it back and stressing myself out. So I that's why I missed a week. I'm sorry. I try not to, but I'm human. This is a hobby. I have a full-time job. I have other things, you know, responsibilities and hobbies and such. So as much as I would love to make this my number one priority, when I only have so much emotional energy, like I have to prioritize things in my life, like my job and taking care of my animals and things like that. So I just like didn't want to overexert myself. I love the podcast. It makes me very happy. Honestly, it's not even the recording of it. Like that was, I really didn't think that I would, like I spent most of Friday crying. So like, I didn't feel well enough to record it, but even if I like managed to record it Saturday, like the editing would just take me a long time. And I just like, I just needed to not have any responsibilities beyond my job. I also work weekends, so it wasn't like I got the news on a Friday and had the weekend off. I was still working Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I couldn't do it. And I'm sorry for missing a week, but it's better to take care of myself mentally than push myself, you know, like, anyways. I do want to say, I had two dogs growing up, and when my first childhood pet passed away in 2022, I talked about her a little bit in the podcast, and I want to give Ramon, my other dog who passed away a week ago, the same little bit of airtime. Because I loved him. He meant a lot. He was my first dog. Pimienta, my dog who passed away in 2022, she was younger, but she had diabetes. So she'd been sick for a while and she'd had a few scares. So her health deteriorated quickly, but it also wasn't a complete shock. Ramon, he was the first dog I ever had. I remember I moved to Brazil when I was 9, and I was not happy about moving to Brazil because I had moved a lot in my childhood, all within the same county in Maryland, but I had switched schools a couple times, and I got to a point where I didn't like that. I was really tired of it, and And then I found out that not only am I switching schools, but we're moving to another country and a country I don't speak the language. It was just not a very happy time. Like, it was not a positive change for me personally. And I remember I was like, I would love a dog. And we moved, like, I don't remember the exact dates, but, like, say we moved in on a Monday, that next Saturday, like, we got a dog. Like, it was that quick. We didn't even have furniture, and we got him. He was a schnauzer, a white schnauzer. We got him at this, like, fair in Brazil, which seems kind of sketchy in retrospect. And I'm, like, 90% sure that he was, like, way too young to adopt. Like, we took him to the vet, and they were like, this puppy is not ready to be adopted. And he was sick a lot, and I loved him. I loved him instantly. He was always a little chaotic, a little crazy. Eventually we got Pimienta, so he would have a friend, and they were thick as thieves, always causing trouble together. When we moved back to the United States, eventually the house we lived in was, like, right near the woods, and he would, like, dig holes in the fence and run away. And, like, he caused all kinds of chaos and trouble. And he calmed down in his old age. He hadn't done anything crazy in, like, years. But my parents also lived in Brazil when I was in college, so they weren't in the same house. So I don't know when he would have hung up that proverbial, I don't know what the phrase is, but why am I gonna cry? Actually, I do know why I'm gonna cry, but he was, like, really chaotic and crazy, but at the end of the day, he was just so loving. Like, he loved attention. At the end of the day, everything he did, he just wanted your attention. He wanted you to love him. And I did. I loved him so much. He meant so much to me. As my first, like, real pet that I had and I grew up with. And I'm gonna miss him a lot. When my first dog passed away, I was living with my parents, and it was actually, like, she passed away on a Friday, and I moved to LA the next Friday. But I was there, so I got to say goodbye to her. And I didn't get to say goodbye to Ramon. I knew that he was sick for, like, maybe a month and a half now. I knew that he didn't have much longer. And he died at home with my parents. So it was like a peaceful passing. And I'm glad that at least in the little last stretch of his life, he was surrounded by love, and he seemed content. He wasn't, like, suffering. He was still in good spirits despite being sick. But that's why I missed last week. Losing a pet is really, really hard. And I think I'm just really sad that I didn't get to say goodbye. And I don't know. I always felt guilty that my relationship with him kind of changed after I went to college and I got a cat, because he was, like, not mine in the same way as my cat was, because my cat Ivy was the first pet that was, like, solely my responsibility, like, not, like, a family pet. So it was just a different dynamic. And I think also with my parents living abroad for a time of, like, a good portion of my college years, my, like, breaks and stuff, it wasn't like I was going to my childhood home and seeing my pets. Like, there were times where I didn't see either of my dogs. It would just be, like, my parents that I'd see. So I don't know. I'm always just like, I wish I was more present. But I took a lot of film photos of him when I went to the Taylor Swift concert in the Eras Tour. I went to a show in New York, and my dad drove down to help, to, like, drive us there so we wouldn't have to worry about, like, an Uber or anything. And Ramon came with him, and I took some film photos of him then, and I took some when I was living with my parents. And I have a lot of tangible memories of him, which I'm really grateful for, because I feel like the older I get, the more I'm like the cloud, I don't trust it as much. And I'm like, I love the fact that I take a lot of film photos now, because I'm like, in 100 years from now, if like all technology is obsolete and there's like no record of anything, at least like my great grandchildren or anybody in my extended family or just like loved ones, like, I don't know, like, it's beautiful to think that somebody years from now can find, like, the negatives or the prints, and his memory will live on that way. But anyways, it's been quite a week. My sister also moved to LA. She got here on Tuesday, so it's been quite a jam-packed week for me personally, but I'm sorry for missing a week, but I'm here. What other updates do I have? This is a silly update, but last episode when I talked about Heartbreak High, I called them British. They're Australian. I'm sorry about that. What else? Okay, so plans for the podcast. This episode is going to be the last two Vanderpump episodes, because I have two Vanderpump episodes to cover, and I don't want the episode to be like 4 hours long just for my sake. In terms of editing, I am going to cover The Circle next week. I will cover the Vanderpump finale, and then I will do a kind of deep dive-ish on The Circle. When Big Brother 25 ended, I did kind of like my thoughts on the season in review. That's my plan for like the season of The
Circle. Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Circle. So instead of doing like an episode by episode recap, I'm just going to watch all of it, take notes as I watch, not really recapping, just my thoughts. And then at the end, I'll do kind of like my overview of the season as a whole, the general trajectory, stuff like that. But that will be next week, because I didn't have time to catch up and like properly do that. And also, I don't want this episode to be too long. But besides that, since Vanderpump's ending soon and The Bachelorette doesn't come back till July, I'm gonna have like a gap in my coverage, but Pretty Little Liars Summer School is starting up soon, like I think in less than a week. So I will be covering that, probably not starting in the next episode because I have the Vanderpump finale and then my plans for The Circle, but I will be covering that in some capacity. Maybe I'll do like week by week, I'll do a recap. I don't know how many episodes they're dropping at once, but maybe I'll do kind of a like based on that drop schedule. So maybe for the first week I'll do, if they release like three episodes at once, I'll do those three and then I'll do two. Like I'll play it by ear, but I definitely want to cover Pretty Little Liars Summer School going forward. I'm excited to talk about something scripted. I've really been enjoying scripted shows again. Not that I don't love reality TV, because I do, but I think, I don't know if it's Vanderpump or what, but I have felt kind of, sorry for the sniffling. I started crying and now my nose is running. I'll try to cut it out as much as I can, all my sniffling. But I'm excited to talk about something like scripted and structured, because I don't know if it's Vanderpump. I don't know what it is. I am really feeling, and I love talking about reality TV, like I'm not going to stop, but I think maybe I've been doing, like that's been my sole focus for so long, and it really, like it started with the strike that I decided to just talk about reality TV, because I didn't want to talk about scripted TV when actors and writers and stuff like that couldn't talk about their own work. So I did only reality TV for like most of the summer, and then into the fall and stuff. And then I just kind of got into it, and I wouldn't say I'm feeling creatively unfulfilled or like stuck, but I am excited for a bit of a change. So I'm excited to the next show to be like my priority, because I feel like I will talk here and there about like a show every once in a while, but I have like had shows that I've specifically like been recapping. I'm excited for one of those show, like for my next show of that capacity to be a scripted show. So that's going to be Pretty Little Liars Summer School. Again, because next week I have plans, I probably won't have like super structured. Like I probably won't talk about it next week, but the following week I will start that. And for the Vanderpump reunion, I am not going to do like a point by point recap. I'm just going to share like my general thoughts on the reunions because I've been recapping the entire season. So I don't really feel the need to like rehash a ton of stuff because I've already shared my thoughts on all of the like storylines. So I'll just share any interesting thoughts or reactions I have, but I'm not going to do like a structured recap as I have been. Besides that, those are all the updates, all the this is going to be a long intro, but it is what it is. So jumping straight into Vanderpump Rules season 11 episode 13. This episode was called Jack's Attack. The episode opens with Lala and her brother going to a non-alcoholic liquor store. Seems kind of cool. I think it's cool that things like that exist. Then we see Katie watering her plants. Ariana's FaceTiming her boyfriend. It's the typical, like, random scenes to open an episode. Then at Ali and James's house, we see Ali say that she didn't sleep well. The cats kept meowing and trying to open the door. Jax arrives because basically, I don't know if they explain this later, and I have that in my notes later because I took these notes like 2 weeks ago at this point. But because of Hippie, there's been a lot of adjustments to kind of like their situations with the cats specifically. So that's kind of like what Ali's referring to. Jax arrives to James's house, and we find out that Jax is doing a brunch at Sir, that James is DJing. We see flashbacks of Jax and James's relationship through the years. Jax makes some mean dig about Katie. He's mad that she's telling everybody he cheated on Brittany. And it's like, I don't know if he cheated on Brittany now, but he has in the past. So it's like, you gotta just, you know, take the L sometimes. You were unfaithful and you kind of suck. Like, the thing is, if Jax had, like, really messed up in his past, and he seemed to be a completely reformed, like, better person now, better attitude, better communicator, just better person, maybe I'd understand the frustrations, because nobody likes to be defined by parts of themselves they're not proud of. But it doesn't seem like Jax is particularly ashamed or embarrassed or trying to move past those versions of himself. I feel like Jax, if he's not like still a cheater, I don't think it's because he has like respect for Brittany or care or anything like that. I think it would just be out of like laziness. Like, I don't know. And maybe I don't know the man. He could be like, it could all be not real. I just don't, like, I just remember. And I watched all of Vanderpump Rules last summer. Or not even summer, like last spring. So like this stuff is like, I watched it all, like all at once. And I remember reunions. I don't remember what season, but I swear to God, it was like every reunion, Andy Cohen would try to get Jax to like apologize. And I swear to God, there was like some reunion where Jax even said something like, no, I don't feel remorse. Like, I don't feel sorry. And it's like, I don't know if that's like a wall. Like, I don't know. I'm not like a therapist and I'm not trying to like pathologize him, but like the man just doesn't seem like a particularly empathetic person. So, you know, the shoe fits, wear it. Who cares? I'm also like, am I going to defend Katie in most situations? Yeah. Then Jax talks about how he doesn't know what his relationship with Lisa is anymore. And that is kind of setting up a conversation that happens later in the episode. Then at Sheena's house, she's playing with her daughter. Brittany arrives. Sheena in confessionals talks about how close they are. Brittany asks if Sheena and Brock are going to have more kids. She says she doesn't want to be pregnant again. Sheena says she doesn't want to be pregnant again. And Chance dying. I don't remember, but maybe Sheena had a hard pregnancy. Maybe not. Maybe she's just like, but like, I don't know. I feel like that would be a weird comment if you didn't have like a bad pregnancy. Like, any pregnancy can be risky, you know? Like, you can have a fine pregnancy and then the next one is risky. Like, I'm not trying to diminish that. But the dying comment specifically, I feel like, but I don't remember. Maybe she did have a hard pregnancy. Then Sheena says she and Brock have been at each other's throats. I have to say, I gave up on watching The Valley. I've seen bits and pieces. I just can't stand Jax to the point that I don't want to watch him. I do find the whole, like, they've really incorporated Brittany and Jax into the season, and I feel like it's literally just to get people to watch The Valley. But the thing is, if I'm going to watch The Valley, it's going to be for, like, Kristen Doty. It's not going to be for Jax and Brittany. And I have nothing particularly against Brittany except, you know, certain things I have against Brittany. But, like, the dynamic between Brittany and Jax is not one that is compelling to me. You know, like, I'm not really in the mood to watch a woman be continuously disrespected by a man like Jax Taylor. Like, I'm not particularly interested in that dynamic. Kristen Doty and, like, her conflict with the other people is the only parts of The Valley that I've found interesting through social media. I watched a couple episodes, but then I saw Jax was saying, like, weird, like, comments on Instagram about, like, vaccines, and I was just like, I don't really want to give this man a platform. Like, I really don't. Then if he wasn't in the show, I would have probably kept watching it, but I just really don't want to. I don't like the way they're treating Kristen, but I don't know. But I'm not talking about The Valley. Anyways, there's a lot of things where it's like Brittany has been friends with Lala, with Sheena. Like, they've remained friends even after they weren't on the show. But they're including them now specifically because of The Valley spinoff. They're still friends with Stassi. Like, Stassi's kid, maybe just kid, I don't know, plays with Lala's kid. You know, some of these ex-cast people are still friends with people currently on the show, but they're just not really at filming. But now, because Jax and Brittany are on this other show, they're including them a lot more. And it's just like, of all the people, they're the ones I would want to see the least. Like, Stassi, I'd love to see her again. Kristen makes great television. Jax and Brittany, I find them boring. Did they have some bombshell moments? Sure. But now I don't care for them. Like, I don't find them interesting. But anyways, then we see Brock and his friend having a meal. Brock is talking about the tension between him and Sheena. He says they need a nanny. Sheena's the maid breadwinner, and that's causing tension. And it's just like, Brock talks about, like, he seems kind of lost in life. Like, he feels bad about not bringing in the money, and he's not living up to the standard he set for himself. But, like, the thing is,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Brock, I think, is kind of misunderstanding. Like, not misunderstanding, but it's like, from everything I've seen from what Sheena has said in the after show and just in general, I don't think that that is what she is expecting in a partner or what she even needs. Like, I think Brock is mad at himself for not meeting up to these needs and not providing for Sheena in a way that he thinks he needs to provide. But I think from Sheena's perspective, what he provides is exactly what she needs and complements her life. And it's like, great. Like, I think Sheena wants Brock to push himself, not because she feels unfulfilled by what he's providing her. I think she can tell that Brock is unhappy in his life and feeling lost career-wise. And I think that's where more of Sheena's... Plus, Sheena probably feels on some level that Brock is not feeling his best self because he's insecure about not being the breadwinner, or he's insecure about his position in life. Like, I think that's more where it's coming from, and less from a, like, Sheena wants her man to be the, like, I don't think she's mad that she's, like, picking up the slack or the main breadwinner. I don't think that's an issue Sheena's ever had with Brock. Then we cut back to Sheena and Brittany's conversation, and Sheena says Brock does so much to help. Maybe he doesn't feel appreciated because he's not bringing in the money, etc. And I agree. Like, I think it's less about, like, Sheena is not unhappy with what Brock is providing her. I think Brock feels insecure about it for whatever reason, and maybe Sheena isn't communicating that well enough, or maybe he needs to find fulfillment in other places. Like, I don't think it's about that their dynamic isn't working for them. I think it's other hang-ups, for lack of a better word, that is causing the tension. Insecurities, maybe? I don't really know. Sheena says that her being the maid breadwinner has been hard for Brock, and Brittany says she's gone through similar things with Jax. I wrote in my notes, sorry, I just laughed at this because I wrote this 2 weeks ago and I forgot. I don't know. I'm like reading this for the first time. I wrote, so he's a loser asshole who on top of it isn't even providing. What a flop. I don't think somebody, I don't believe in the, like, you know, the man has to provide and all of that. But it is kind of like, what does Jax provide in a relationship? I'm sorry. Like, what does Jax Taylor provide in a relationship? I do hope genuinely that Brittany, like, goes on to find, like, a great partner. Because what is Jax Taylor providing you? Sheena in confessional says that there's this pressure about how it, quote-unquote, should be, when it should just be however it works in a relationship. And I agree. Then Sheena talks with Brittany about her medication journey. Her meds made her tired, so she got off of them. She talks more about her postpartum OCD, her intrusive thoughts, and she mentions some about, like, Lala and Brock, about Brock and a nanny, potentially, etc. Then we see Schwartz and Katie meet at a diner. Katie wants to be friends with him. It's weird for her. It's weird to her for them to just be strangers. Schwartz says he's happy about that. She teases him about his hair. We find out he's getting a tattoo tomorrow. He posted on Instagram with Joe, but it was for her business. Katie commented something. He says he and Joe are taking a break because it made him sad when she asked if he was embarrassed of her. And Katie says that it's his own fault. And I agree. Schwartz asks Katie how things are going for her, and she says that she's getting to know people with zero expectations. Schwartz asks about her date with Tori. Katie jokes that she liked her more, that Tori liked her more. Tori kissed her with tongue, and Schwartz only got a peg. It's funny, their dynamic. Schwartz in confessional says that he thinks Katie pursuing a girl he's hanging out with is her way of saying she misses hanging out. It's their post-divorce love language. Like, he is so unserious. He is so unserious. What does that even mean? She is dating this girl who I'm talking to as well to get my attention because she misses me. He's so unserious. He's so unserious. And that's why I think he makes great television. Then Tori, they check their messages. Tori has texted both of them. Katie says that he wanted a hair glow up because she had one. At this point, like, Schwartz had just gotten his hair bleached, but, like, it's been, like, forever since that happened. So people on Twitter, like, really ship Katie and Schwartz again. And it's just, like, you guys are missing the point. The reason their dynamic works great is because there's not that, there's not that romantic dynamic. Not every relationship is meant to be romantic. And I think they have great banter and, like, chemistry, of course, like, they work well together and they have, like, fun banter and they make great TV and they seem great as friends, but I don't think that Schwartz provides Katie what she needs in a romantic partnership, nor do I think he really ever put in the effort to try to do that. Like, I think she waited around long enough and then she was like, I'm not gonna wait around for him to change, like, I'm unhappy. And it wasn't a lack of, like, her loving him. Like, I think there's love there. There's always going to be. I think they're compatible in some way. Like, I think they have great banter. They have good chemistry. But that doesn't mean that they're, like, compatible as, like, long-term partners. And I'm not going to say it's all on Schwartz. But I think Schwartz has a lot of issues from what we've seen in terms of, like, being able to commit and, but I don't know. He's in a relationship now, so I wish him the best. But Brock and Sheena have an anniversary dinner. Sheena in confessional says that they've been fighting, but when they got married, she committed to him being her person forever. But she does have a prenup just in case it doesn't work this time, which is smart. They talk about how they need more one-on-one dates. Brock doesn't know what he's doing in life. He knows Sheena, being the main breadwinner, puts pressure on her, and all he wants to do is take pressure off. And she says that he does take pressure off of her. And it's like, I think that they view it differently, because I think what he provides does take pressure off of her. Like, what she said in the after show is that support isn't just financial, and the support he provides is exactly what she needs. But Brock seems to not feel valuable. Like, what Brock provides Sheena is valuable to her, but I think he is struggling for his own reasons with that not feeling sufficient, or like I don't think he sees the value in what he provides Sheena, you know? And I say this as a Brock hater, okay? Like, I'm not a big fan of Brock. Anyways, she says that he should push his ego aside, and then asks if he thinks this is his second chance at being a dad, etc. Brock cries in confessionals about his kids in Australia. She sometimes feels like they're not enough because he doesn't see how much he's worth to her. And he says that they should have a convo in therapy. They'll get there. They love each other, etc. It ends on a nice positive note. Then Schwartz and Sandoval go to get tattoos. Schwartz tattoos his two dogs, which I thought was cute. He gets a tattoo of his two dogs, not he tattoos the dogs. That would be animal abuse. We find out that they all got invited to San Francisco. Schwartz asks about the house, and Sandoval says that they could live together, and he says he can't afford it. Then Schwartz wants to make smart financial decisions. The last venture with Sandoval haunts him still, and Sandoval falls out of his chair, which is funny, although unrelated to the plot of the season or episode. And then we see Ali and James going to a face gym. I don't know, it just seems like some fancy spa. They talk about wedding plans, not their wedding. They're going to a wedding. Like, they had plans to go to a wedding. It's like one of Ali's college best friends' wedding. Like, one of Ali's college friends' weddings or something. And they had planned to go, but because of Hippie, James doesn't really want to go now, because James's brother is going to be out of town and he doesn't want to leave Hippie with just anybody. And it's causing tension, you know? James feels like no one's gonna know how to separate the cats and Hippie, and Ali says that they could drop him off at someone's house. He should give Hippie a chance, and James really doesn't want to. Ali says she's already made sacrifices with the cats. Their sleeping arrangements changed because of Hippie. Hippie and the cats can't be in the same bed together, so that's caused some tension. That's the main conflict between Ali and James right now. Then we see Lala and Sheena getting ready together. Ariana's on a treadmill. She FaceTimes Dan, her boyfriend. We find out that he's coming to San Francisco. Then Tom's new assistant, Craig, comes in and talks to Ariana. And that prompts Dan to ask her about the counteroffer on the house. And she says that Sandoval's assistant asked for the downstairs to meet with the realtors. And then we cut to Sandoval on FaceTime with his realtors. Not really anything of note in that conversation. Just like, they talk about looking at other houses as well. Like, it's not just like, I don't know. Then at Sir, everyone arrives for the Jack's brunch thing. The women are sitting together, and Schwartz comes up and shows them his tattoo, and it's super cute. I like the tattoo. Lisa is confused about why they're doing a brunch with Jax when he's been super disrespectful to her publicly. And I just don't believe that she didn't know this brunch was going to happen. She's an executive producer on this show. Like, do I think she knows everything? No, but like, I think she knows that they were going to coordinate for Jax to be on a certain amount of episodes, probably as like a crossover deal with the Valley. Like, I feel like the Valley is right after Vanderpump Rules. It was introduced right after Jax's like appearance for the first time on Vanderpump Rules for the first time. They've been talking about Jax and Brittany more this season, and like, they've had scenes. Jax and Brittany are there with them commenting on the episodes during the after show. Like, they've been involved throughout this whole season. I don't think Lisa, like, had no idea that they were going to do this brunch with Jax. Like, I think she knew. But that is just my opinion. I don't know anything. Jax arrives, and Lisa is upset about how he has talked about her. She says that he basically called her superfluous. And he's like, I don't know what that means. And that was kind of funny. Like, that was funny. Lisa says she could have hit back and said the person who wasn't needed was him. Because Jax has said that, like, Lisa's just, like, a figurehead on the show. And I wrote in my notes, she's literally that Ariana Grande meme where it's like, I could have said, wrote some songs about Ricky. He's trash. I could have said that. But I didn't. I said I listened and laughed because it didn't work out. That's Lisa. She's like, I could have said you were the one who wasn't needed on the show. But I didn't. Jax is upset that she didn't reach out. Like, she hasn't reached out in years. She says she wouldn't have brought up, like, the way he's talked about her publicly. But he's putting his name on a flyer with her business and it matters. And he's like, that's fair. They end on amicable terms. Like, nothing is crazy. James DJs, Jax joins briefly, and then Jax joins the women. Katie in confessionals talks about not liking Jax. She says if someone has to say how much they've changed, they haven't. And I agree. Jax brings up the Schwartz potentially moving in with Sandoval thing, and they cut to a scene that it literally says like 4 minutes ago or 5 minutes ago or something, where Schwartz is like, please don't tell anybody, and like he's like, I won't, and then he's telling them, which is funny. And Ariana says she just wants her money, she like doesn't care. In confessional, she says she doesn't care what happens, like it can become the Mojo Dojo Casa house. As long as she gets her money, who cares what happens after? And that's fair. And that's been her stance the entire time. Like, I don't mean to just keep going on and on about the house thing, but I don't understand how you, like, these people have the, like, Lala specifically has, like, the knowledge of the entire season playing out, you know? And she knows that Ariana has been, like, I just... One, that Ariana came around and was, like, talking to Schwartz, ended up being in the same room as Sandoval and just, like, not... Like, so far, we've seen growth. We've seen a calming down of her so far. Like, we've seen growth, in my opinion, of how Ariana is dealing with everything throughout the season. But also, like, she had the knowledge that Ariana literally just wanted to not lose her money on the house. While Sandoval stayed in the house stubbornly, simply because out of spite, like out of like a stubborn petulance, really, if we're being for real. And she still mostly criticized Ariana for staying in the house instead of being like, Sandoval's an idiot who couldn't even afford the house and was just waiting out as if he would magically have the money for it, when Ariana just wanted to like be compensated for the amount of money she invested into the house. Like, I don't get it. I'm more and more confused as the weeks go by. But anyways, James is having a pool party, we find out, and there's a little joke where Lala says she needs to call her husband, and then Brock pretends to answer the phone, and it's kind of awkward after a scene from earlier, or the scene from earlier where Sheena was talking about her OCD and like having about like how sometimes she has intrusive thoughts about Brock and Lala and stuff like that. That was kind of interesting that they included that after that, and I felt kind of bad for Sheena. James invites Sandoval to the pool party, says he doesn't want to wake up angry and they shouldn't let things get bad between them, and Sandoval says that's good. James says Sandoval also has to look at how he sounds, and I agree. I said it last time, Sandoval, I feel like a lot of the progress that's happened is other people forgiving him more so than like work he's putting in. But I'm simply an outsider. I'm not in these relationships. Who am I to judge, you know? Then at James and Allie's house for the pool party, Katie talks about how Allie's been feeling about the cats and hippie and the wedding stuff, and James's brother being out of town, so they have nobody to watch hippie. And then James joins them and they mention it to him. Katie asks if he would be open to somebody else who's not his brother watching hippie, and James says maybe next year or during Christmas. And they're like, but the wedding's now, and Allie's the one who's like gonna suffer. I have a lot of thoughts about this, but I'll get into it in a second. Lala says Ali makes a lot of sacrifices, goes everywhere with him, etc., is like super supportive. And James is just really distraught at the idea of leaving Hippie. I understand why some of the women are kind of frustrated that he's acting like they don't understand, as if they don't have pets they love dearly or like children. I do understand that, because I do think he said something at some point like, you have a kid, how many nannies did you go through? I don't want that to happen to my kid. Like, I do think there are moments where he is maybe a little bit, you know, frustrating. But I also think James, when it comes to Hippie, like, he lost Hippie. He was like taken away from him, and then he had no idea what was happening to him for a while. And then he came back injured. Like, he had came to him, and James is just really, and he has had some behavioral issues. So I don't think it's this like, I don't know. I think there's a nuance to it. Do I think that James is being, like, very emotional in this reaction? Yes. I do think there's a healthy middle ground where you can find somebody who is not just a stranger who... Because I think James is worried that something would happen behaviorally with Hippie that would then result in him losing Hippie again. And I understand that. I understand that fear. I think there has to be some kind of middle ground and some kind of compromise where you can find somebody who's skilled and you trust as much as your brother to be attentive, to really care for your dog as if you were caring for him yourself. I think that there has to be some kind of middle ground. Like, I understand both perspectives, because I think a little bit more validation from the women would have gone a really long way by being like, I understand that you're scared and you lost him before. Like, I think his kind of insistence that they don't understand is not... I don't think it was coming from, like, an insensitive place. I think it was coming from they weren't seeing where his pain was coming from. Like, he just seemed like unreasonable. But when you like look at the origin of that, the cause of that, it's like this just fear that that Hippie will be taken away from him again. And I think that's valid. So I don't know. Later in the pool party, somebody jokes that they should take a drink every time Jack says he's a father. James asks Katie if Jack has talked to her yet, and asks Schwartz if he knows why he's asking that. And he's like, yeah, I know. He's like, Jax is upset that Katie found a photo on Reddit and was talking about him cheating on Brittany. And Katie confronts him, and he's mad, and he says that she's mad he took a picture with a female. First of all, female is an adjective, not a noun. So it's like really, really degrading when you refer to a woman as a female, because that's like a female dog, a female horse, etc., because female is an adjective, not a noun. Woman is a noun, girl, person, all of those are nouns, but not only is it grammatically incorrect, it's a huge ick and a big red flag for men, or for women. When it comes from men, is referring to us as females or a female. That's concerning. But no surprise from Jax, in my opinion. Katie and Jax kind of argue a little bit. He brings up Brittany and she says that she doesn't talk to her because of him. Then Ariana and Schwartz have a conversation, and it's like super nice and civil. Like, justice for Ariana. They were all like judging her and trying to rush her process when like now she's being totally fine with Schwartz. Schwartz, who's like still besties with Sandoval. You know, she's come around. She's not going to be like besties with Schwartz and like have her be like a confidant, you know. But Schwartz has shown himself to not be like a huge Sandoval apologist. I mean, he is a Sandoval apologist, but I think when it comes to Ariana, he has done a good job of kind of retreating and not trying to always be like, oh, you know, like right at the beginning of Sandoval, like at the height of it, he like was like, you know, give him a hug, he's struggling. I think he's kind of moved past that, and he's kind of like not defending Sandoval unnecessarily. He's chill. He's mellowed out a bit more. Ariana's mellowed out a bit more. And they're, like, civil. Like, they talk. It's, like, fine. Why are people, like, they were just rushing her. Like, the season started, like, 3 months after the news broke. It typically takes, like, 3 seasons for them to film. So at this point, it's probably been, like, 2.5 seasons almost, or 2.5 months, maybe 3. So, like, now it's been more, like, 6 months since she found out. Like, more time has passed. There's more distance. And she's calmer, you know? When she's around Sandoval, she doesn't scream at him as long as he doesn't engage with her. There's progress to be made. They're moving forward. I think it's also extremely clear to me that as soon as they started moving forward in the house and that kind of started moving, a lot of the, like, tension wasn't as present because, and I've said this multiple times, but I found it frustrating that they were trying to comment on, like, whether Ariana had properly moved on when she was still, like, in the middle of, like, a legal situation with him, because that is what the house situation is. It's not like it's a legal thing that she doesn't want to lose an asset that she invested in, because not everybody can just afford to, like, not to just abandon a multi-million-dollar house and lose all of your money. And Sandoval can't actually buy her out because he can't afford to be in the house by himself. Like, and she knew that from the beginning. She knew that his offer was just, it was not a good offer. But anyways, he brings up the moving in with Sandoval thing, and she already knows. And he's like, oh my God, Jax wasn't supposed to tell you. Then he says he can't afford it because after refinancing, the loan is too expensive or something. I don't know anything about houses, but they have to, like, refinance because Ariana, if I don't know, if Sandoval buys Ariana out, they have to refinance the house under, like, 2023, because that's when this was filmed, obviously, and now it's 2024. But last year, they would have had to, like, refinance it with, like, 2023 numbers or whatever, and the loan apparently is, like, $20,000 or something. Like, it was crazy expensive, and he's like, I can't afford that. Plus, last episode when Sandoval brought it up, like, the rent he was proposing was, like, $6,000 or something for rent. Like, it, you know, so Schwartz asks Ariana if she'd hate him if he moved in, and she says no, and he's, like, surprised. But she says when she's out there, somebody's going to have to pay the mortgage. She just wants her money. Then Sandoval arrives to James's party with Kyle Chan. He says something to Hippie about speaking to Raquel again, which I found kind of weird. He's like, if I ever speak to your mom again, I'll tell you, tell her you miss her. Something weird like that or whatever. Sheena wants to leave the party because she wants to put Summer to sleep, and Brock does not want to. There's, like, tension between them. I'm on Sheena's team in this regard. Like, if she wants to get home by 9 to have time, to have the time with her kid, she should be able to. I'm not a parent, but I do know that time is precious, and people, your kid is only that young for a blink of an eye. Before you know it, Summer will be 10 and then she'll be 15. Like, you only have so much time, those moments to soak up. I think when you're older, you're gonna value that more than, like, I'm glad I stayed out an hour later and, like, got a little bit more drunk. Like, you're gonna be grateful that you really soaked up all those times with, like, your loved ones, you know? If she wants to leave, she should leave. Like, I don't, anyways. Sheena and Sandoval argue. He's, like, an asshole. I feel like they're going in circles. It's, like, the same conversation over and over again. They had a similar conversation in, like, Tahoe. Sandoval's like, you did so much to me. And Sheena's like, you fucked me up mentally. The restraining order. Like, it's the same things over and over and over again. Because Sandoval is incapable of just taking the L. She brings up the restraining order. Brock mentions the touring. Literally stuff we've already hashed out. Sheena brings up her intrusive thoughts about Brock and Lala and how that was triggered by Sandoval. And James says that he feels that way sometimes too. Like, he really has doubts about trusting people now too. And I think that's a really interesting part of the scandal, is that it's easy to say, like, you weren't the one cheated on, but at the end of the day, like, big changes like that to the dynamic and betrayals like, that impacts everybody to different extents. But I just don't like this idea that, like, Sheena should just not, like, it wasn't Sheena who got cheated on, so, like, she is centering herself too much. Do I think that there are moments where maybe she could take a step back and have been a little bit nicer about the way she was talking about Ariana's healing process? Sure. But I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with Lala, with Sheena talking about the ways that this whole thing has impacted her, because they are real. It's like a major chasm. I don't know if that's the right word. A major split in your friend group. That's a big deal for, like, you know, people involved as well. I also think Scannaval brought a lot of eyes to the show, a lot of fresh eyes to the show, which probably brought them a lot of different perspectives and maybe more feedback than they've been used to receiving. That could also be something that probably didn't help, that, like, the conversation around Vanderpump Rules was kind of reignited in a way that probably also came with a lot of things. I just, you know, like, Sheena was impacted by this. But anyways, was she impacted the most? I don't know. I mean, like, not really, because she wasn't the one cheated on, like, you know, but it did have impacts on her. And a restraining order, that's a lot to deal with. Sandoval makes a dig about Sheena having been a mistress. Everyone gets upset about this. Like, nobody's, like, on his side with this. Everybody's like, really, dude? Because that's his MO at this point. It's like, it's like, yeah, I cheated, like, 3 months ago, right? For, like, 9 months. It was, like, in this past year, I had an affair. But you, 10 years ago, were a mistress. First of all, she didn't cheat on you. Like, maybe if somebody cheated on you and then was calling you out on being a cheater, maybe you could be like, okay, that's a little hypocritical. You literally wronged me in this exact way. You had nothing to do with the situation, okay? Like, and we've already rehashed, like, that's already been explored, okay? That was how the show started. Please calm down, Tom Sandoval. It really just is his go-to, is like, sure, but you did that bad thing too 10 years ago. Like, okay. Then Sheena leaves. Ariana goes and comforts her before she leaves. They're all mad at Sandoval about bringing up the past. And he's like, the song that Sheena came out with was about the past. It was 6 months ago. Aren't we trying to move on? And it's like, do you understand the difference between 6 months and 10 years? Because there is quite a difference between something that happened 6 months ago and something that happened 10 years ago, by the way. So, anyways, that's how the episode ends. Moving on to Vanderpump Rules Season 11, Episode 14. I didn't write down what this episode was called. It was called For Old Tom's Sake. Sorry, I looked it up because I don't like to not know. But we open up at something about her, and we find out that Anne is now a something about her employee. They scratch out her title from Tom's assistant and write something about her employee. We find out that something about her has had code violations. The opening keeps being pushed back. Then Lisa arrives. She meets Anne. She jokes about Ariana stealing Anne from Tom. And then Lisa talks with Ariana and Katie. We find out that Lisa spoke with Penny and that Ariana and Katie aren't speaking with Penny. We met Penny, or at least we saw her in regards to something about her. I don't know if she's shown up in past seasons of Vanderpump Rules. I cannot recall. But we saw her a couple episodes ago, like at the beginning of the season, when they were looking to hire people. And I remember from that episode, there seemed to be tension. So, and there's clashes with Penny about, like, ownership, because Katie and Ariana want to be, like, the sole owners. And Penny had been, like, fine with, like, a certain amount of compensation before, but now she is not really feeling the same way, so things have changed. But anyways, Lisa in confessional says she's worried that if they part ways with Penny, the restaurant will never open. Then at Kyle Chan's store, Sheena arrives to plan the performance in San Francisco. Sandoval arrives as well, and it's like awkward in confessionals. Sandoval says that Kyle has been there for him a lot, so he's happy to help him. He owes him a lot. And he cries. Kyle is worried because of what happened at the pool party. And Sandoval apologizes for bringing stuff up from years ago. Sheena says the song wasn't even about him. He says it's not the end of the world. It frustrated him. She says that's why she was apologizing the other day, etc. Sheena gets emotional about how Sandoval was the only person on her side and how hard it's been for her to pick a side, etc. Sorry for saying etc. so much. He says he doesn't understand why there has to be a line in the sand. Relationships never end well. And it's just like, it's not about that. It's like, it's not like you broke up and it was a messy breakup. You know, people break up. People have bad breakups where things are said and people are unhappy and it's like messy. And that's one thing, you know, it wasn't even like you had a messy breakup. You betrayed her repeatedly for months and months and months. And then you did a horrible job in actually like seeming remorseful, caring for her feelings. Like you just, every step of the way you mishandled the situation. When people bring up like you not seeming apologetic, you're like, I did apologize though. Like you, it's not about that. It's not about that. It's not about your relationship ending. It's about the way you treat other people, including Sheena. Kyle says that it's their choice whether they want to forgive Sandoval, but they shouldn't continue to torture him. Sheena wants to be able to move forward in a way that they're not throwing each other's pasts in each other's faces. She doesn't hate him, doesn't wish him anything bad, etc. And the scene ends with both of them saying they miss each other, and it seems like fine. Then at Lala's apartment, Katie's there. Lala's getting ready for her birthday. She FaceTimes Sandoval to like make sure he knows he's not invited to her party, which is funny to me. And he's still with Sheena. Even on the FaceTime with Lala, like their body language seemed really awkward. But anyways, at Lala's birthday party, it's like at a burlesque bar, speakeasy, I don't really know. Lala says her hopes for the year, like this new year of her life, she's turning 33, are she wants a positive pregnancy test, she wants to rule the world, and she wants her custody battle to end. And then we see the burlesque show, and all I could think was like, wow, Bravo is so risky. Not like risque. No, really, it's not even that risque. Like, it wasn't anything crazy. But, like, they had these, like, women with just, like, pasties on, but their whole boob was out. Like, boobs fully out. Just nipple was covered. And I'm like, The Bachelor literally does, like, a black box if people are wearing, like, a bikini that is too revealing. Like, that's crazy. I'm just not covered with that kind of, I'm not used to that kind of thing. Schwartz is trying to gauge if people are going to Sandoval's show. Nobody seems that down. Lala asks why Sheena was with Sandoval, and she explains that he was there to help with Kyle Chan set up and stuff. Sheena says he apologized. She said she missed him and he reciprocated it. He had tears in his eyes, and he did not have tears in his eyes from what we saw, unless they cut out him having an emotional moment, which I don't know why they would. They showed him crying over Kyle Chan, meaning a lot to him. I don't know why they would cut out him having tears in his eyes while talking to Sheena. I don't think it happened. We also, this is like said off face. It didn't sound Frankenbitten, but maybe Sheena said like he had tears in his eyes. Maybe she said this at another point in reference to something else and they put it in here. That's also an a possibility, but if not, I don't really know what she means about tears in his eyes, because I simply did not see it. Ariana's not particularly happy about this, but honestly, I don't think she had like a crazy reaction. She doesn't really want to hear about him. Like she makes some faces, and she does say that he's pathetic and annoying, but in no way does she like get mad at Sheena or say anything negative about Sheena. Like it wasn't that, like I don't get any animosity towards Ariana. And, like, I'm getting tired of the Sandoval redemption slash pity arc, and I'm just a viewer. This is her life. This is the man who everybody, not everybody, but, like, a lot of people are trying to push her to be okay with, like, him just being reincorporated into the group. And honestly, I think she's being pretty reasonable and fair in being in situations where he's also there. She hasn't, like, shut herself off or, like, any of the things that I feel like she's been accused of. I don't see them. And next week is the finale. Am I gonna see in the next episode something that warrants Lala's feelings towards Ariana? In confessional, she says she feels like she's being gaslit a little, as if what happened was not clear as day. He's not a good friend to Sheena. I agree. Then we see Sheena and Brock packing for San Francisco. They're planning some events that they're excited about. And then we see Ariana and her boyfriend Dan go out to dinner. We find out he's going to San Francisco too. Or maybe we don't find that out. But they talk about him going to San Francisco. It's their first time flying on a plane together. They talk about Sandoval being there on the trip. Dan seems ready to just not engage. And the long distance relationship they have, Ariana and Dan, it's both good and bad for them. They got to know each other in a way that, like, really helped because they were taking it slow. Like, it wasn't all physical. They were genuinely getting to know each other because it was just a lot of talking on the phone. But also the time differences are hard. And with his job, too, sometimes she's going to sleep as he's waking up, which is so relatable to me personally as somebody who would go to bed at, like, 3 a.m. And I'd have friends who, like, well, like, I literally, like, all sometimes I'll be going to bed at, like, 3 a.m. and a friend of mine is, like, active, who lives on, like, the East Coast, and, like, I know that she's up because she woke up. It's 6 a.m. her time. She's getting ready for work. And meanwhile, I haven't even gone to bed. So I relate to that. She brings up him moving to L.A. and he's, like, not super interested. We see Tom Sandoval perform. It's unpleasant for the eyes and ears, personally. His mom's there. T is still there. I don't know why she didn't run for the hills, but, you know, it is what it is. And then Schwartz and Joe talk after the concert. It's, like, awkward. We find out she's coming to San Francisco, though. It's awkward because Tom Schwartz is the, like, I would totally fall for Tom Schwartz, and it would fuck me up mentally. Like, I have sympathy for Joe because I would fall for it too. He's like, last episode, he's like, we should take a break. Like, I don't see you that way. I don't want to be in a committed relationship. And then at the same time this week, he's joking about how in 7 years they'll get married. Like, do you like me or not? I'd be losing my mind. I'd be losing my mind if I was Joe. I would have to be like, I'm disengaging because I can't entertain this back and forth. But I also think it's easier said than done. And when you really care for a person, you take the breadcrumbs, you know? You take the love kernels, as the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend song goes. Like, you take what you can get. But anyways, then we see everybody getting ready to head out to San Francisco. Lala is kind of shady about Dan in her confessional. She says something feels off because, like, she doesn't understand. Like, I don't know. She basically judges the relationship because she finds it weird that Dan would, like, so soon after Ariana broke up with Sandoval, really believe that she's, like, the one. But I don't really see the connection between that. But maybe that's just me. This entire episode really made me want to go to San Francisco. I've never been, but I want to go. I really want to go to the Bay Area. I live in Southern California, so I've never been to Northern California, but I would love to go. They settle into their hotel rooms. Then we see Schwartz and Sandoval talk. Sandoval points out that Schwartz is wearing shorts. and he's like, I'm from Minnesota. When it's 34 and above, we wear shorts all year round. I thought that was funny. I would say me, but, like, even though I went to college in Ohio for 4 years and, like, it's not that cold in LA, if it's like 60, I'm below, and it's cloudy, I'm wearing a jacket. Honestly, the thing is, it's not even like I'll be cold, because I will be a little bit cold maybe, but honestly, it's just because I won't be overheated at that point. If it's like 60 and anything, and it's not cloudy, like it's sunny
or it's just like not even cloudy or rainy or anything, then I don't need a jacket. But like as soon as it's cloudy in LA, if it's like 60 or below, I'm wearing a jacket. Partially because I do run cold, but also because I just, you know, it's for the fashion. I lived in Ohio for 4 years, and I took that as an excuse to just buy every sweater imaginable. And I still have like that little bug in my head, you know, I have that little rat in my shoulder, on my shoulder, being like, buy more sweaters. Like when I go shopping at a thrift store or at a flea market or anything, I always gravitate towards the sweaters, and I don't need any more sweaters. I'm like, buy some pants, buy a nice blouse, anything. I mean, you don't need another sweater, but for that reason alone, I wear sweaters all the time. I wear jackets and sweaters all the time. But anyways, Sandoval says he should give Dan the lowdown like Ariana did with T. And it's like, what lowdown? She didn't cheat on you. Like, do you just want to list everything she did that you didn't like? Because what does that even accomplish? Ariana was like, I want you to know that he like betrayed me horribly. So you know who you're, you know, so you know what you're getting into. That is like just looking out for somebody. I would want to know if I was talking to somebody and they were like unfaithful in their last relationship to the extent Tom Sandoval was, especially because he's shown no remorse. Like that's not really the same thing. Like I don't think somebody needs to be warned about your ex unless it's something like infidelity, abuse, like something where it's like I think the things that Tom Sandoval doesn't like about Ariana, I don't think they're like character flaws of Ariana. I think they're just ways that they weren't compatible. Because I feel like he would say something like, Ariana really put me down constantly. And it's like, I don't think that it was because Ariana is like a mean person who puts people down. I think you guys just like weren't compatible in that sense, and she didn't want, like, I feel like Tom Sandoval wants like a yes person or something. I don't know. I lost my train of thought because my foster kitten is meowing. But anyways, they're going on a boat. So they get sweaters to prepare because they're going to be cold on the water. Then Sandoval and Schwartz talk about their business, Schwartz's previous anger towards Sandoval. They kind of resolve things, and Schwartz says he's ready to commit to moving in with Sandoval. Then they're on the boat. It's like rocky. It seems like a nightmare. Brock tries to drive the boat, and Lala and Katie joke about boys and their desire to drive boats. Katie says, learn how to fuck a woman before you learn how to drive a boat, which was funny to me. Then after the boat ride, Ariana and Brock talk, and he asks how the boat ride was with Sandoval, and she says he's just scenery to her now. And he's like, it's better than the last few times. And she's like, hopefully he learned to not talk to me. And Brock is like, do you see a future where you would be able to talk? And she says, for whose benefit? He says, for Sheena's benefit. And Ariana's like, Sheena, you mean the man who yelled at her like a week ago? I care about her too much to let her be friends with somebody like that. I'm like, thank you. And then Brock says forgiveness isn't about accepting what he's done. It's about giving yourself the ability to move on and focus on the good things. And she says that you do not have to forgive somebody who has traumatized you in order to move on. You can just be like, I'm done with them. And I agree. I think if you want to forgive somebody because you feel like you're holding on to anger and resentment and that's like bothering you, I think that's fine. But I think you can also just get to a point where you're like, what that person did to me was messed up. I'm not like holding on to the anger and the resentment, but I don't want to forgive them. Like, I think forgiveness is great when it helps you move on and heal and like be a version of yourself that isn't like angry. But I think forgiveness too is something that is like sold. I feel like it's something that is pushed a lot because it gives the person who's wronged you like a level of peace, you know? Well, they forgave me. And not always. I think forgiving people and moving on can be great, but I think you can also just get to a point where you're like, I don't want to forgive you. Like I don't know. I think you can just move on. I don't think not forgiving means that you are like holding on to the feeling all the time. I think it's just like, you're not sorry. I'm not gonna
forgive, like, I don't know. Said the word forgive too much. I feel like it's lost all meaning. I don't know. And she talks in confessionals about something called the gray rock method, which I about being a gray rock. And I didn't understand what that was, but I looked it up, and apparently that's like a tactic with abusers or like just, you know, toxic people in your life. It is to make yourself, like, to give them nothing, to make yourself as interesting as a gray rock, so they have nothing to feed off of, which I think sounds like, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but that seems like it would make sense. And then she says to Brock that she thinks there's power in anger, and there's power in her anger and her hurt. There's power in all her emotions. She says there never seems to be a problem with male rage, but female rage is a big problem. And Brock asks for an example of male rage, which I found confusing, because it's like, I think you just proved her point. Because when you see men raising their voice, you probably just think, oh, that's them being men and dominant, or like, I don't know. And I'm not trying to place that on Brock. Maybe he doesn't. But it's like, what do you mean an example of male rage? Plenty of these men have anger issues. What are you talking about? You yell at Sheena all the time. Honestly, I would say that there are a few examples of male rage in your past, Brock. What do you mean by that? And then we see everybody at the hotel getting ready for the 20s party that Brock planned. Brock is not at the hotel. He's getting a haircut for the party. Lala comes to Ariana and Dan's room. Ariana reveals that Dan chilled a Celsius for her and ironed her clothes. Like, what a dream man. And Dan's not going to the party because he's getting dinner with Brad. And then we see a brief convo between James and Allie. He's in a bathtub. They, like, talk about Dan. Lala says it's weird seeing Ariana romantic with somebody who isn't Sandoval. And we cut back to James and Allie still talking about Dan, and also James being really funny in the bathtub. He's great television. Then Lala asks Dan what he'd do if Sandoval approached him, and his answer is kind of vague. He'd be like, well, he hasn't done anything to me, but I know what he's done, so... Like, he doesn't really give an answer one way or another. I don't get it. What would you do? Just nothing? Which is fine. At the 20s party, they're all dressed up, and I love the vibes. Like, James is kind of dressed up like he's in Newsies. Like, it's so funny to me. He really leaned into the, like, Oliver Twist, I'm a poor British boy vibe. James points out that Sandoval and Ariana are wearing similar shoes. And then Ariana and Katie step away from the group, and Ariana points out that she can see in people's windows from here. So, Taylor Swift coded, you know, I look in people's windows like I'm some deranged weirdo. So real, so real. Schwartz approaches Katie and Ariana and says they look like a duo, and Katie jokes that they're the new Tom Tom, which was funny. Schwartz says it's great they're all friendly again. In confessionals, he says it's nice to not have to tiptoe, especially around Katie. And I love that. I'm all for... I think that Ariana would get there eventually. And I honestly think that after they're no longer dealing with the house together, and Sandoval is just like another person there in the crowd, I think it'll be a lot easier, and I think you'll see a lot less. I don't think they'll ever be friends again. I don't think she'll ever like him again, or even maybe ever talk to him again. I do think that they'd get to a point where it wouldn't be like this cloud hanging over everybody's head. Brief intermission from the Vanderpump talk to hear from my foster kin and Cassandra. ASMR, Cassandra ASMR. She's really vocal, so I thought she might want to speak directly into the microphone. She was hungry. I fed her. My apologies for the brief intermission, but hopefully you enjoyed it. I'm excited to listen back to the little sound. I'm going to keep it. Now my cat Ernesto is meowing. But come here, you can speak directly into the microphone. But anyways, what was I even talking about? I think when, like, I do think they'll get to a point where it won't be so painful and so fresh and all of that. It bothered me that they didn't seem to want to give Ariana that time. you know? That was my biggest hang up with the entire thing. Like, I think she would get there eventually, and I think she's in the middle of a, like, the legal situation, all of that. I don't want to keep rehashing what I was saying. But anyways, I also like the fact that Schwartz and Katie can be civil now, and they've, like, got into a healthy place, and that Ariana can talk to him in a calm way. I think that's great. I think it's a better world when we're not just actively angry at the people we're around constantly. You know what I mean? So I think that's great too. Ariana walks away and Schwartz says he likes that he and Katie are friends again. He proposes they have a one-night stand. He's so unserious. He's like, we order a bunch of food and we just scroll. That used to be our thing, is eating a lot of junk food and scrolling aimlessly. Like, he's so unserious. And then Sandoval pulls Sheena for a chat. They debrief about the show for tomorrow. He says that it's probably awkward for Dan, but having him around, but he won't be around tomorrow because he'll be preparing for the show. Sheena asks how he feels about Dan and Ariana, and Sandoval says he's glad that she's not alone, you know, that having somebody around probably helps deal with everything that happened. And Sheena says that she knows that Ariana has a strong no contact policy. Sheena brings up the things that Sandoval has said about Ariana's mental health and brought up that and brought forward that maybe she didn't want public, and asks if he would maybe apologize for that, you know, apologize for weaponizing that. And I agree. I think that always really bothered me that Sandoval was like, she threatened to hurt herself if I left, as an excuse to then, because I don't understand, if you're struggling to break up with somebody because you think that they're going to hurt themselves, how do you not realize that being cheated on is, like, very painful? Probably more pain. I don't know. I've never been through either. But, like, I'm sure it's you know, relative to the relationship. But being cheated on in the way that he cheated on her, at the time that he cheated on her, I don't really think that that was any less. Like, if anything was going to make her contemplate, like, really, really be in a negative mind space, I really think that being cheated on, you know, in that way, when you're going through everything you're going through, personally, that would make me want to die more than just being broken up with. So I that logic always really bothered me, because it felt like he was, it did feel like he was weaponizing it, of like, she wouldn't let me leave, she was toxic, she threatened to hurt herself. And it's stupid, and it frankly is illogical, because if you're worried she's gonna hurt herself, what you don't do is then do something that's like 10 times worse than just ending it in a kind way. You know, because Sheena said it in the finale of season 10, where it's like, you call her family, you make sure she has people, and you end it. Like, you end the relationship and you make sure she has everybody to pick up the pieces, and she'd get through that. I mean, she got through Scandoval, of course, but it's like, it's just really, I agree with Sheena. I really liked Sheena in this conversation. Sheena says maybe if there is a genuine apology, she says this in confessionals, maybe if there's a genuine apology, they can move on. And honestly, like, maybe. But I think I'm just so jaded at this point from everything that's happened, where I'm like, there's not going to be a genuine apology from Tom Sandoval. Like, that's not going to happen. So we have to work with what we have, and this is what we have. But I don't know, you know. I don't know. I wish him, I like to believe the best in everybody. It's just, you know, hard when it's like, time and time again, it just doesn't seem like anything is going to change. But she just asks if he could say, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have said that, to deflect from my actions and make an excuse for it. And I'm like, thank you, Sheena. Thank you. Thank you. If Tom Sandoval genuinely said those words, I would be gagged. If Tom Sandoval said, I shouldn't have brought up the fact that you were struggling as a way to deflect from my inability to break up with you. You know, I was too much of a coward to end it. you know, for X, like, he doesn't own it. He's like, well, I couldn't end it because of this, or I wasn't happy because of her. It's always, like, some kind of deflection, and I appreciate that Sheena called that out for what it is. Sheena says that Ariana just wanted to make it work with Sandoval. She didn't freeze her eggs just for herself. She didn't go to couples therapy just for herself. She didn't just buy the house for herself. She invested in their future. And Sheena says he doesn't have to respond. She just wants him to think about it. And I loved this conversation on Sheena's end. I really did, because I agree with her wholeheartedly. I really do. And in confessional, Sandoval says that in explaining his state, like explaining the state of mind that he's been in, it has come across as him blaming Ariana, and he's not. And like, I can appreciate him saying that and acknowledging that it's come across as him blaming Ariana. I just wish he wouldn't say he's not blaming Ariana, because he has blamed Ariana. Like, he's like, I've just been explaining my state of mind, but it seems like I'm blaming Ariana. No, you quite literally blamed Ariana. But, okay. Like, I can appreciate him saying that no matter what was wrong in their relationship, she didn't deserve what he did. I appreciate that. It's like a step in the right direction. Maybe there is hope for Tom Sandoval. I think, honestly, I don't know the man. I think he has a lot of issues, but I do think that maybe a lot of this is coming from, like, just defense mode. Like, he feels his sense of self, his ego, whatever, is being attacked with all of this criticism. And he just goes into defense mode, and he's not thinking logically. Like, he's not taking a step back and genuinely looking at somebody else's perspective and Ariana's emotions. He's just so defensive because, you know, he's so defensive that he isn't able to take a step back and be like, that is how it's coming across. This is what I'm communicating, even if in my heart that's not what I want, you know? And I think maybe as things calm down and there's a bit more distance, maybe he will get to a point where he is more succinctly able to not deflect and not make everything about how everybody else has also done wrong things, and maybe genuinely be like, it wasn't okay. That was wrong. And I don't want that to ever happen again. I'm going to make sure that I'm working on myself so I can be I don't know. Maybe there is hope for Tom Sandoval. I hope for hope for everybody. That was really repetitive. I long for every, you know, I hope that everybody has potential to improve and get better. And I don't think anybody, I don't think it's ever too late to work on yourself to be a better version of yourself. Taylor Swift once said, it's never too late to be brand new. And I agree with that. There's always stuff you can do to be a better version of yourself today than you were yesterday. Even if you're just 1% better of a person, there's always stuff you can do, because eventually those 1% or 0.5% or whatever you can do in one day adds up to a significant change. And by putting in the effort every single day to be a little bit more aware, a little bit more empathetic, a little bit more patient, you know, a little bit less reactive, whatever you struggle with that causes damage to people in your life, even if it's not where it's coming from, any little effort can eventually lead to, and you build better habits. You know, I'm somebody who has a tendency to like snap sometimes when I'm upset, and like when I react emotionally, I can be hurtful, and I recognize about that about myself. And so I have learned, and it's like a habit that I've been building, is if somebody is bothering me, to just take a step back. Like, don't engage in that moment, because I'm not going to do anything to better the situation. I'm not going to resolve it. Like, it's just going to be worse for everybody involved. And I'm not going to leave the conversation feeling any better. Like, the conflict isn't going to be resolved. I'm going to be left feeling worse about myself because I was mean to somebody I care about for no reason. Just because I was hurt, and it was like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just when you build better habits. I think if Tom Sandoval just learned how to recognize his brain or whatever it is in his body that like goes on defense mode and feels the need to attack back, if he could recognize that, stop it, and like just let himself have that feeling, that thought, let it pass,
and then communicate in a way that's just like, I'm sorry, without then being like, but you did this or whatever, it would be so much better. It would be so much better. So I wish the best for everybody. Would I want to be in Tom Sandoval's life? Probably not. But I wish the best for everybody. And I think growing as a person and putting in work to be a better partner, a better sibling, a better child, a better whatever roles you have in your life, a better friend. I think that's something we can all do in our own ways to make life better and to strive to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. And so I would never deny that or believe that somebody else can't do that. I wish the best in people's journeys of self-improvement. Not everybody wants to put in that work. Not everybody thinks they need to. That's really none of my business. But I do always hope that people can be better versions of themselves, because I think that's a beautiful thing about life, is that we can change and we can grow and we can improve and we can fail and then succeed, you know. Sometimes you have to fail to succeed. A wise woman once said that on The Bachelor. But anyways, that is where... Oh, I don't know if I said, but Sheena and Sandoval hug, and that's where the episode ends. That is where this episode ends as well. Next week, I will cover the finale. It's called Plot Twist. So maybe something crazy will happen. I will understand all of the Ariana... all of Lala's anger towards Ariana, because it makes no sense to me so far. We haven't seen that. I've never seen the comment from the previews where she says that suddenly they become God. So maybe that comes later. I mean, maybe that comes in the finale. But I'm excited for the finale. I'll talk about The Circle next week, and then Pretty Little Liars Summer School the week after. And I'll share my thoughts on the reunion here and there. Like, as the reunion airs, if there's anything that comes to mind, I'll do like brief little sections on it. But thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Sorry for missing a week again, but don't anticipate missing a week anytime soon. I feel like next time I miss a week might be like the week of my birthday, but that's like end of June, so there's some time until I plan to take a week off. But like, sometimes I'm like, the few times I've missed a week lately, like recently, I've planned it. Like, but I didn't plan last week. It was just what happened. You know, like life is hard. And anyway, it's okay. This episode was like solid. I'm caught up on Vanderpump. I'll talk about The Circle eventually. It is, you know, I'm glad that I took the week to not push myself more than I could handle. Anyways, thank you for tuning in. It means a lot. Please follow me wherever you listen to podcasts if you enjoyed it. Rate and review, share with a friend, all that good stuff. All my social media is linked down below if you're interested in any of that. And I appreciate it a lot. It means so much when people tune in to the podcast. So thank you. And I hope you have a great week. And you'll hear from me next week. Bye, guys.